The Story of the Dancing Frog by Quentin Blake. "Tell me another story about our family," said Joe. "I'm really too tired, lovey. If I make the cocoa and the sandwiches..."
"Well, all right then. What have I told you? Uncle Geoffrey and the iceberg, and Sarah and her lions. Do you know about great Aunt Gertrude Godkin and the dancing frog?"
"No. Can I have that, please?"
"You get the cocoa, and I'll see how much I can remember." When Gertrude was a young woman, she married an officer in the Navy. He was very handsome, with a black beard and a smart uniform. The trouble with being married to a sailor is that he has to go with his ship, so that a lot of time you can't be with the person you most want to be with. Anyway, they were happy when they were together, and they had a house by the sea, and Gertrude would watch for his ship returning. And when he came home, he brought her presents from aboard.
"What sort of presents?" "Little brass tables with folding legs and wooden camels and ornamental daggers."
And one day, the ship didn't come back, and Gertrude waited and waited, and then there was a letter from the Navy to say that the ship had sunk, and Gertrude's sailor was drowned. And you can imagine how awful it must have been to get a letter like that. And yes, she went out of the house and started walking along by the river, and there can't have seemed anything in life worth living for, and she was on the point of throwing herself in so that she could be drowned too, like her husband, and finished. But she noticed something which stopped her. On one of the lily pads in the river was a frog. It was dancing. Gertrude stood and watched it as it danced, and then, I don't think she quite knew why, she walked onto the water and picked up the frog and carried it home. That night, Gertrude kept the frog in a bucket in the kitchen, and the next day she dug a pond for it in the garden. And for the rest of the day, Gertrude stayed by the pond watching the frog swim about. And from time to time, he would do a little dance on the grass. And that evening, after she had something to eat, Gertrude put a record on the wind-up gramophone she had been given as a wedding present. And then she went out into the garden and picked up the frog in her hands and brought him in and put him on the kitchen table. And the frog slowly started to do a new kind of dance, a dance to the music. And then, we don't know quite how it happened, but the frog went on the stage. Perhaps Gertrude knew someone at the local theatre. And the dancing frog is rather unusual. And no doubt Gertrude didn't have much money after her husband disappeared and was glad of anything that they could earn. Anyway, for the first time, the frog's name appeared on the theatre poster, right at the bottom. George, the Dancing Frog.
Was that his name then?
I don't know. Maybe it was just his stage name. And after that, they travelled about the country, wherever they could get work. It must have been hard for Gertrude, carrying the luggage, staying in cheap lodgings, arguing with landladies who didn't want a frog in their rooms. But they made lots of friends. And at one theatre, George took part in a conjurer's act. He dived through a hoop, and then the conjurer made him disappear. At another theatre, he jumped out of a hat when the comedian pretended to be drunk. What Daddy used to call squiffy. Yes, that's right, lovey. George learned lots of new dances, the Lancers, the Gay Gordons, the Polka. And then one day, Gertrude was told something that changed their lives. There was a job at a big theatre in the city. A talking dog had been taken ill with a sore throat, and they were desperate for a replacement. And George got the job, and he did all his dances, and suddenly everybody wanted to see him. It was a different life. People sent flowers to George's dressing room and waited to see him at the stage door. And newspaper reporters interviewed Gertrude about him. And society hostesses wanted him at their parties. And George was taken to expensive restaurants. A famous chef even invented a dish especially for him of worms in butter sauce. Oh, fancy cooking worms. Oh, they weren't cooked. Frogs won't eat anything that's dead. They were alive. At least they weren't poor any longer, but there was even more work for Gertrude, arranging about the money they were to be paid, arranging about trains, arranging about luggage. But it must have been exciting travelling around the world, strange cities, warm nights under starry skies. In Paris, George danced with a girl dressed in feathers, and the audience went wild with excitement. He also did a wonderful dance with another girl who waved shawls. And he danced with the Spanish dancers, and you could hear his croaking above the sound of the castanets. And in Russia, he danced in a special version of Swan Lake, and he jumped higher than any of the ballet dancers. And it was in Monte Carlo that Gertrude had her offer. An English lord asked her to marry him. "This is no life for a woman," he said. "I have a house in the country and another in London, and everything shall be provided for you. Leave all this and live with me as Lady Belvedere." It must have been a great temptation. Who was to know how long George would go on being successful? But they were just getting ready for their tour of the USA, and somehow she knew she couldn't really give up. So Lord Belvedere had to be content with no for an answer. The dreadful business of the fire happened in New York. George was rehearsing a new musical. The night before the show opened, the hotel where they were staying caught fire, and Gertrude was out in the street buying the evening papers, and she saw smoke bursting out of the hotel doors and windows. How could she possibly get back to George, who was in their room on the 13th floor? And then suddenly she saw him on the window ledge by the open window. By then, the fire engines had arrived, and Gertrude snatched a bucket of water from a fireman and called out at the top of her voice. It must have been the most extraordinary thing he ever did, on the stage or off it. 120-foot jump into a bucket of water with perfect precision. George went on that night and was more brilliant than ever, and at the end of the show, the audience stood and applauded for 20 minutes. And it went on like that. Nobody much remembers them nowadays, but they were a great success. Was Gertrude ever sorry that she didn't marry Lord Belvedere? I don't think she ever told anybody she was. She preferred the frog. Well, I suppose you could say they looked after each other over the years. And what happened to them in the end? The last time anybody in the family saw them was before the war. They had a little house in the south of France with a water tank for George. And Gertrude used to grow hollyhocks and sort out their newspaper cuttings. And in the warm weather, she would give George a shower with the watering can. And are they dead now, then? Well, that was a long time ago, so I suppose they must be. Joe collected up the cocoa mugs and the plates. Was that a true story? More or less. But frogs don't really dance, do they? Not normally, no. And no one could really catch a frog and put it on the stage. You can do all kinds of things, if you need to, enough. Yes, I suppose so.